Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, peace, peace and love, peace and hair grief, and all that good stuff. Welcome to Collective Minds Radio. This is Mufasa Ra in the building with my co-host Lovely Shay and brother Kevin. How y'all be?
What up, bro? We good. What's the word, y'all? Peace to the family.
I'm good as well.
Well, it's good to know that everybody's feeling good on such a beautiful day. The weather's fine, the birds are chirping, all that good stuff.
Yes, it was a beautiful weekend in St. Louis.
It is. You know what? And I just like to add and just reiterate that it is beautiful out here.
Yes, it is.
The weather is nice. The wind is soft.
Right.
It's almost like California somewhere.
Down, it feels real good. You got a nice breeze. It feels like an ocean breeze.
Facts.
It's like I'm sitting in the middle of the ocean. Ain't even bothered by the fish.
Yeah.
The Caribbean.
That's what's up. Everybody had a good week.
I had a good week.
Yeah, I did. I'm telling you, it's been good, but it's been so busy. It's like I've just been getting a few hours of sleep, ripping and running, but I'm not complaining because, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Busy is good.
I do have a question, though, to get started. I don't want to go too far off into this, but I would like to know just briefly, have anybody had or heard of any updates about the officer in Minnesota?
No, I have not. I haven't heard anything. But my prediction was from the beginning that he's probably going to go to jail, but I haven't heard anything lately. So if anybody got some updates, let us know.
Yeah, mine's pretty close. I just want to kind of stay on top of that.
Definitely.
And another thing, too, looking forward to, think we're going to have a special guest next week. We'll make the announcement when we get everything kind of tuned in. But, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a special treat to everybody.
Right. Tune in next week.
Any announcements?
Special guest.
Any announcements?
That probably was the only one. Make sure y'all tune in next week. You know, we're working on a special guest. Get confirmation. So just stay tuned and check us out next week. But, I'm looking forward to this topic. Y'all going to need to fill me in on exactly, you know, how we're doing this.
I was filling them in saying we was going to talk about ways to family structure.
Right, this is out of curiosity, Mufasa. If you don't mind explaining to myself and the listeners, What inspired this? What inspired this question to come about? You know, like what was going on that made you say, hey, you know, I think we should do this. Let me hear your inspiration. And then I think that
that'll help too.
To know where you where you're going here.
You can go in on this too because I had. My wife asked me, well, she was like, is he talking about just the black family structure or are he talking about just family structure in general? So, you know, kind of break it down and, you know, school us and build on what inspired the topic and who are you talking about, you know, what family structure and, you know, just go in. Let us know what's good.
Well, you know, of course, me being a black man, it's stemming from black family, but as a whole, if you look at our country as a whole, the family structure is breaking down. Now, one thing is, you know, I'm always saying free the land. I'm always about nation building for black people. You know, I feel like black people need a place to call their own. And it ain't no knock against no other race. You know, I'm just saying black people need something to call their own just to empower them. So, a nation. Nations are built off of family structures. I mean, where can you have a powerful, strong nation without strong family values? You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, great nations come from great family structures, because a family is a baby nation in itself. You know what I mean? And so just look at this. The world is changing. You know, when you're sitting down at the dinner table, or you're sitting back trying to relate to your family, and, you know, everybody's on their cells, everybody's doing their own individual thing. And in my opinion, as a whole, that is damaging our family structure, which is in turn damaging our nation. And damaging ways for us to build a nation. How are we going to come together to build something when our families can't even come together to have conversations? You know, we're into this individual me world. So, you know, that's just a piece of what was on my mind about it. Also, when you look at families, a lot of people have families. Like, we was having a conversation with a family member, me and Love Shay, was that yesterday? We was having a discussion with a family member about how.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of got in late, so I don't really know. I kind of got in on that late, but I was actually wanted somebody to fill me in on that part as well.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of filling in going on here, because my family on the phone right now. I've been kind of MIA. I've been busy. As a whole, I think families need to get back to how they used to be. We need family structure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of us on here, you know, each one of us three have our own families. You know, our little sub-families that we communicate with and that we're responsible for. So I'm sure having a good family structure is important, just as important to you guys as it is to me. So,
facts.
Yeah, so I think
was that real?
A lot of people don't have good family structures, or maybe having issues trying to keep their families together. You know what I'm saying?
So right. So tell me this. So what are some how does a good family structure look like in your opinion? Like, what does that look like, and what type of things do they do? You know what I'm saying?
Did y'all hear my family just bust in on me just now?
What's up?
Did y'all hear my family just bust in on me right now? Knowing I'm on here doing this shit, they come busting in, talking about who going to get some ice cream. Then busting on, I'm glad y'all didn't hear that. Just all confusion just broke out there for a second.
Hey, that's part of having family.
So, yeah, families need to stay together. You know, I run across people who, men and women who are in relationships with someone. They don't stay in them. They don't know how to maintain them. So let's just start with the core, with the basics. Man and woman. Because that's what it takes to start off a family. Man and woman. So what are some of the responsibilities of a woman and some of the responsibilities of a man in order to build the family structure? responsibilities of the two in the family. What's y'all opinion on that? What role does the woman play and what role does the man play?
Love, Lachey.
Well, quite simple, and I'm trying to have a universal answer. You know, the woman, well, maybe not so universal now in today's time, but I still feel like I'm kind of old school, so I say the man is the head of the household. You know, he's the aggressor. He's the provider, all those things. And the woman's role is to be more domesticated, you know, the softer portion, the more rational portion, the calmer portion, the cleaner portion, because you guys are not so clean. The smarter portion, the prettier portion. No.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just kidding. But you know, for the main gist of what I'm saying, you know, I think the man is the head of the house, and I think the woman is there to help and assist him and keep him strong, and be more, her role is more in the household as far as domesticated things, you know. And, you know, the cooking, the cleaning, the washing. I think for me, like I said, I'm a little old school, so for me that works. I think that's a very pleasant atmosphere to be in.
Mm-hmm. What you say, Brother K?
For me, I mean, it's all, you know, a matter of my opinion, you know what I mean? Because each relationship is different. So I just thought I was saying that. But when you talk about maintaining a solid family structure, I agree with Love Lachey. You do need a head of the household. And, you know, I think that head of the household should be the man, as far as the, you know, the foundation, the protector, the leader. You know, you make decisions with your wife, you know, your female counterpart. You make decisions together. I think at the end of the day, somebody does have to make that ultimate decision. And, you know, I think the woman's role is as far as the nurturer, you know, procreating, housing the kids. And I say that, like, my reason for the man being the head and the protector is because of the woman when she gets pregnant. You dig what I'm saying? Because I feel like a woman can do, you know, anything that a man can do, but only thing a man can do that, the only thing a man can do that a woman can do is get pregnant and have a child. So while the woman, who's the only one that's able to house these souls and create children and, you know, go through that period, is up to the man while she's going through that to be the protector and, you know, hold the family down while she's, you know, bringing forth that life or that light. You know what I'm saying? So that's my reason why I'm saying a man should be the protector, is during those 9 months when she's most vulnerable and she has another life within her stomach. You dig what I'm saying? And just also by men being more physically stronger in general, you know, that's another reason we should be, you know, the protector and holding it down on that part, and the provider, as far as being, you know, emotional direction and, you know, psychological direction for the family, just being that leader that he should be. But also the woman is leading her right. Like I said, I don't want to make it seem too one-sided, you know what I mean? Because I think they both make decisions together. But like I said, that final decision, I believe as a man, should be laid to the man. So, yeah, I just think that's the foundation. You know, the woman's the nurturer, taking care of the kids. The man's a provider, the protector.
So basically you're saying that ultimately, once the two has decided upon something together, the man is the one that delivers the message to the universe. He the one speaks it out and say, okay, then it's done. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so to speak. I mean, yeah, I would say, you know, as a family, I think the whole family should collaborate on decisions that are being made. But like I said, somebody has to be, you know, to make that final decision whether we gonna go with it or we go pass, you know, based on what's right for the family. But I think every party should have an input, and that's including the kids when they get a certain age. You know, you should at least get their opinion on different situations going on within the family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like I said, it's always up to the parents at the end of the day, and then at the end of the day, it's up to the man to make that decision. And in my opinion, at least that's how, you know, I run my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because to me, not even back in time, but everything, if you're going to have structure, you got to have a layout, a format to how the family, the model of the family should go. And for things to work smoothly, I think that everybody should have a role and play their role. It don't mean that one role is less important than the other, because they both are important roles. You know what I'm saying? And that's why when two people do, you know, procreate together, you know, they should take those roles seriously. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you were saying about women. Women is the one that that's nurturing that child for the 9 months or whatever while she's carrying. You know, she's
right.
Feeding it, she's nursing it, she's doing everything for this embryo. And when this baby pop out, that's the first thing you want to go to is his mama.
Right.
You know, yeah, daddy, we planted the seed, but you know, when it pop out, when the baby come out the womb, that's the first thing it go to. It's connected to his mother.
Right.
So, you know, women should take that as a badge, wear it as a badge of honor. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with being at home and molding your child. I mean, that's your kid. That's the future.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I be feeling like some women, not all, but I feel like some women look down upon that. They look down upon, well, I don't want to stay at home and just be in the house taking care of no kids. And all. They look down upon stuff like that. But you are the one that's raising up the nation.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, that's just a sign of the times, though. Like women, you know, that whole feminist movement and the women's lib and their get out and work and all that. Like, that's just a sign of the times. But like you say, honestly, in an ideal situation, after the woman has the baby, she should be around that child, you know, at least for the first year, just, you know, on a constant basis, making sure that that child is right. And, you know, she shouldn't have to go back to work and send the child off to daycare with strangers and all these other places, you know, just for the baby to be taken care of. Like, so this is just a sign of the time, you know, women. You know, a lot of times they got to work. You dig what I'm saying? They got to work and go to school, you know, so it's just a lot going on within the society. But ideally, in my opinion, I think she needs to be around that child.
Can I ask you guys something really fast, too? Do you think that's part of our failing system, that the woman is not, or the woman is now working, the roles is kind of changing a bit where the woman is working more? Do you think that's part of our failing structure, or you think it's a good thing? Or I don't necessarily want to say a good thing, but do you just think it's part of our failing structure?
Well, I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, we're fortunate. We have been forced into having to, you know, metamorphosize into something like that. But I don't think that's the best way to go. The best way to go is for the mother to not have to be worrying about issues like this. She should be able to be taking care of her baby. You know what I'm saying? That should be the goal. The job of the man should be going out earning the bread getting taking care of the bills to keep that responsibility up off of her, up off of her. You know, that's a lot more ease into her spirit to where she can focus on her kid. She ain't got to worry about getting out here and trying to, you know, pay all the bills and make money. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's something that the man is supposed to take some of that stress off of her. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, those roles need to be defined like that. The man should be out earning and making a living, and that way the woman can focus on raising them kids. Now, maybe after the kids get to a certain age, it's cool to work a little bit more, but I think it's important
right.
in the early years.
Exactly.
The mother should be there for her kid. And it's something else that that parents should do together, too. I see this happening a lot in families where you got a man and a woman, and the way they discipline the children is different. You know, they can't seem to get on the same page when it comes to the discipline of the child. That's something that you should hash out also, because both parents should be on the same page with issues like that. You don't want to show this type of division. You know what I'm saying, to the children with the parents. You want to be on the same page. You know, if you got to, you know, discuss it behind closed doors while the kid is asleep or whatnot, you know, do that. Hash all that stuff out. So when y'all have to discuss it with this child or get on your child's head about a behavior issue, y'all can be on one accord. You know, that's not good to have to be confronting the child about something that the mother saying one thing and father saying another. It's for the best trying to get on the same. Now, it don't always happen, but I'm saying it's for the best that two parents can get on the same page when it comes to something like that.
Now, let me ask y'all this. This is just like a little side thing, but still kind of still related to the household. Like, what are your guys' views about having the closed doors in the house, like closing bedroom doors and things like that? Do you guys have an opinion when it comes to that?
Yeah, I don't have no problem closing my doors as an adult. But with my baby kids, no, they don't. I never let them close no door in their house. In the house, you know what I'm saying? No, not unless you can just get out the shower and you finna go in there and you know, get dressed. After that, open that door. You know, you ain't nothing to be hiding. Once you get of age, and you get a little older, then I respect your privacy.
Right.
Once you get a little bit older and more, I feel that I can trust you more. Your mind is a little bit more mature. But even then, I'm a knock one time, and I'm coming on you. You know,
right.
You in my house. Now, if you really want your straight privacy like that, hey, you know what you got to do. You got to fly about the nest. When you want to close doors and all that, and you want all that for real privacy, you got to go get your own. So I don't believe in just you just settling for straight up getting straight privacy in my house. This is what I'm allowing you to have. How you feel about it, brother?
Yeah, that's an actual fact. I agree. You know, my kids are 6 and 3, about to be 4. So, it definitely ain't no closed doors for them. You know what I'm saying? But when they get a certain age, of course, they gonna get a little space. But you don't lock no doors in the house. Like, man, it ain't that type of party to be locking doors. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Dude,
I might take the locks off, but yeah, no locking the door, because the thing is, we need to be nosy and involved in our kids' lives. You know what I'm saying? From friends, friends and all that. So, you know, you're not keeping no secrets from me, because I'm gonna be looking, because I know how I used to do or how I would think when I was your age. So.
Yeah, that's why I thought that was a curious question, because you guys know what? I really do think that I think the doors should be kept open, all of the doors, even the parents' doors, because I think it's uninviting to your kids to have the doors closed. And I think psychologically it does play an unspoken part about human behavior that people don't realize when you have doors closed, because I think it's like a privacy thing. I think spirits and stuff plays on those types of advantages and things like that. So I surprisingly really just think a little bit that the door should be, I think the door should be kept open in the home. Even now, there are times I know parents may want to play, and then yeah, of course you close the door then. But outside of that, I think the doors, I think it really plays a psychological part in human behavior.
Yeah, I could go with you on that. I could go with you on that.
I only disagree with just only a little bit, not a lot, but for me, it's like only doors, you know, that we close is our bedroom door. That's why
your
I try
bathroom
to.
Bathroom doors. I'm sorry. When you use the bathroom.
Yeah. What I'm saying, I try to make myself, my presence be known throughout the house. So my kids need me. I'm constantly walking through. I'm in the living room or the dining room. You know, I'm in the kitchen. You know, I make my presence be known throughout the house. So when they see me come in my room and I shut my door, for me, it's a respect thing. You know, I am the king of my house. So when they know when I come in my room and I close my door, then I need my peace, because, you know, I'm, like I say, I'm the king of my castle, and I worked hard to get my peace. You know what I'm saying? So when I come in and shut my door, that means that's my, hey, all right. But like I say, I make myself accessible when I come home. You know, I'm in the living room, or I'm in the dining room, I'm walking through the house. So I go and check on them, I talk to them. But when I come and shut my door, they know that, okay, Pops want to be left alone. And if they need me, though, they'll still come and knock on my door out of respect. You know, and then I'll come to the door. But for the most part, you know, I try to have myself out of my bedroom. I usually don't come into my bedroom until it's time for me to, you know what I'm saying, to go ahead and wind down. Outside of that, I try to just float around the house and make myself, you know, available.
Right. Most definitely.
Yeah, I just thought that was just an interesting view, because I think it goes unrecognized, the effects of it. You know, people don't even think twice about closed doors, you know, and I think that's why kids are so able to really get away with some things that parents are like, well, I didn't know. We're stores with a closed door. You know, and from there, you know, I think it can extend to other things, and it's so subtle that people don't even trip off of it or realize it, you know. So I just thought that was just an interesting view. Just wanted to see what y'all thought about it.
Right. Now, I got a question for y'all, too, since we're talking about the family structure and discipline. How do y'all feel about whoopings and, you know, whooping your kids as a form of discipline?
Oh, shoot.
Well, you know what, I think if certain things are done right, you won't have to whoop. And not saying ever, and not saying it just will apply to every child. For some kids, you just might have to. But overall, I think if certain things are put in place at the right time and done properly, you wouldn't have to whoop a child.
Right.
But there are exceptions to the rules. There are exceptions to the rules.
Yeah, you gotta know your kid, cause I know with mine, they all react differently to different types of discipline. You know, one in particular, guess did not understand talking. You know what I'm saying? Just the talking go in one ear and out the other. You know, you now gonna have to get to a point where you got to just strangle her. You know, she was like that from baby years almost, just one of them defiant ones, you know. But as she grew older, It took a long time. I ain't gonna say it. She got old. She didn't really hit her of her type of behavior until she got grown herself. She got grown and had a kid, and then she was like, "Oh," and she was like, "You know, it hit her why how I feel to have to stay on your head, and why you gotta have to stay on your head like so much." Now I got, you know, some of my other children. Shoot, I could just holler. I might could just raise my voice and they get right on in line, you know. So you got to know, your kids, you know. They all, sometimes they all ain't the same. They all going to have their little individual personalities. So, you know, in a perfect world, I would never want to have to physically discipline my kids. But, hey, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do when they ain't listening. Because you sure don't want them to grow up and run wild, you know what I mean? So you got to put that check down, my opinion. Put the check down early.
Right.
And
that's all you got to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is put the check down early.
Yeah. Just,
you know,
that's hard. It's hard to hit your heart. Hard to hurt. Because, you know, me having girls, well, I swear, it used to hurt my heart to get on their heads. Oh. But I had to keep that strong face, like, in front of them, like, you know. But man, it used to just, ooh, sometimes I would got the, I have been gay, one of them was spanking, man, I come in the room, I have to just lay my head down, I'd be damn near in tears, like, oh, why she make me have to do that? You know, but I know if I don't, shoot, I ain't going to do it, but make it worse. So,
right.
You know, and I feel like it worked, because, you know, me and my kids, we, you know, we close, we can talk now. I can go in there, like I said, they floating around in here right now. I can go in there and talk to them, and we have laughs about all they wild behaviors that they did when they was little. We joke about it now and then. Like I say, my oldest daughter has had a son, so he's one. So when you see him going around terrorizing, and I just laugh because I see her getting frustrated, and I be like, yeah, see? That's how I was when you was doing. You know, so it's they understand, she understand now of the importance of discipline and why I had to do it like that. Whereas growing up, you don't understand. No, I didn't understand when I was little. I'll tell you, I used to see my uncle get down on my cousins, you know, and I was like, I used to be terrified of them. But when I became an adult and had, you know, started having kids myself, I was like, man, I understand, you know, certain things that he did. I can see it now. And, you know, I end up having to tell, I tell him this now when I talk to him, like, man, you know, I really appreciate the lessons I learned from you. You know what I'm saying? And it's my, you know, he's my favorite uncle, you know what I'm saying? I look at him like my father. You know, he taught me a whole lot when it comes to raising a family. You know, he never, and he was a single parent, you know, raising two boys and a girl. So sitting there watching him do that was very helpful to me.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, what so you working on? When you come to your little kids, have you had to do a physical spanking yet, or you still at the point where you can just use voice?
Yeah, I mean, as far as my kids, like I said, they still under six, so the most I done did is like a little pop with a spoon on the hand or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But right now, if I kind of yell, I may have to yell two or three times, but if I just yell and get that face, then they pretty much are straightened up, you know what I'm saying? So I've been trying to, you know, I've just been trying to look for alternative ways other than, you know, physically hitting my kids, because I know there has to be another way to discipline kids without physically harming them, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we just ain't thought of it yet, or we just, you know, they say a lot of, like, when we beat our kids, especially for black folks, they go back to, like, slavery. Wow. To not want master to whoop our kids, so we'll give them the worst whooping. You know what I mean? So the slave master wouldn't whip them or whatever. So I just been trying to look for alternative ways to, you know, to discipline my kids. So I just try to remember, especially with the little kids, you got to be very patient with them. You know what I'm saying? Their mind is moving. You know what I mean? They just getting on earth and trying to explore and do things. You know what I mean? So you got to have them, you know, be able to explore things, but actually and also maintain like a healthy, you know, a healthy stopping point to where they can't, you know, they won't hurt themselves or hurt some other people. You know what I'm saying? So I try to give my kids a lot of little leeway to kind of explore, but I kind of, you know, try to maintain a healthy stop limit to where, you know, where they won't hurt themselves. So, like I said, I've just been trying to be patient.
I was talking to somebody about this earlier. You know, I cannot understand why this little boy, I'm talking about my grandson, I mean, I got all his toys laid out in the basement. He could play with his toys, you know. But he will ignore his toys, and he always go for the stuff I don't want to mess with. He got to go to the TV, turn it on. He got to pick up the remote. He got to hit the cable box. He got to hit the DVD player. He got to grab my iPad or whatnot. I can't believe I said iPad. Galaxy, forgive me. Forgive me, Galaxy. That was a mistake. I'm talking about my Galaxy Pad.
Yes, it was. Do not say Apple or I or anything.
Yeah. Oh, that was, oh, my goodness. I got to go brush my teeth. So, yeah, I don't understand why this boy always got to touch. He's going to go for what? Don't belong to him. And, I mean, he got new toys.
Yeah, it's human nature. We desire what we don't have. And he knows you didn't give him that. So he desires that's just how we work. We desire what we don't have. You give somebody the world, I guarantee you they look to the moon.
I'm going to start taking a... I'm going to have to go buy like some broke electronics and give them to him. And then I'll take his toys.
The key is don't give it to him. We desire what we don't have. Just put them out there for him. He'll get them.
Yeah, they got to be some messed up ones. And I bet you then he'll figure out, that, this don't work. He's going to figure it out. This ain't doing. He's going to go straight to the man. Well, yeah, that exploring phase is a world. He already kept me on my toes. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, we're in agreements about, you know, somewhat about how we discipline the kids. And y'all didn't really tell me, which I'm sure y'all feel the same way about getting on one accord with your mate, too, when it comes to disciplinary action. You gotta have that united front.
That's the most definite. That's the actual fact. And I also want to bring up something that we got away from as families. We don't even eat together no more. You know what I'm saying? We make it our business over here as far as family. We go break bread together. We go eat together as a family. Like, that is so important because who do you typically eat with? You know what I mean? You're supposed to eat with the people you love. That's you're supposed to break bread with. You know what I'm saying? So as a family, we got to get back to eating together, turning off the TV, putting the phones up, even though I struggle with that, but I still, you know, eat with my family on a regular. But we got to get back to that because that's very important. You know, because eating is spiritual. You dig what I'm saying? Eating is a spiritual ritual that you go through every day. You dig what I'm saying? You do it every day. So you should be sharing that moment with your family. And, you know, y'all should be talking and eating at the same time. You know what I mean? Like breaking bread together for real. So that's, you know, to the listeners out there, that's something we can get on. Yeah.
What do you think about how they used to be at the dinner table and they would say, you know, no talking at the dinner table?
No, I'm with you.
I agree that you be able to sit at the table and discuss stuff. But I know when I was a kid, my grandmother and like I say, my uncle too, they were like, nah, ain't no talking at the dinner table. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right. I mean, I'm personally not really feeling that. I know a lot of times, like, we look at, like, traditions from, like, our family then passed down and gave to us, and we may do things with our family the same way. But all the time, to be honest, they may have not been right, or they may have just been working, you know, with the limited knowledge that they have, and you may be able to add some innovation to some new idea or some way, you know, that your old family used to do things. When it comes to your family, you may do things differently because you just figured out, you know, this worked better for my family. So, you know, as far as not talking at the table, I'm not really feeling that, you know what I'm saying? I do feel like when grown folks are talking, I think the kids should be shutting up and listening, you know what I'm saying, instead of talking. And even though I feel like they should be able to join the conversation, because I remember when we was little, we couldn't even join the conversation. But I feel like, you know, kids should be able to join in adult discussions if they're respectful and just not jumping in and listening and asking questions. You dig what I'm saying? So that's just one, you know, this is maybe an example of a change that I may do in my family. You know what I'm saying?
And let me say something real fast, because I think that's why it's important to have the, you know, the structure where you're eating together and that's the time that you communicate and let the kids be expressive. So that way they have a place where they know they can be expressive, and it'll be a lot easier for them to learn how to be quiet in other settings and things like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Yeah, man. Like I said, we got to get back to that for real.
Nope.
Like,
think about
if you ain't doing it every night, but at least a few nights a week, you know, try to get it in with the family.
Yeah, I agree, man. I got to start doing a better job of that. You know, we got a dining room table. You know what I'm saying? Set up for everybody, but you know, everybody go in it and at their different times. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get there, I won't even go in the dining room. I just eat in the kitchen. So. Yeah, I agree, man. I be thinking about that. Like, I need to do better with that. You know, like that. My kids are so big now. They probably wouldn't even trip off them. They'd probably be down with, you know what I'm saying? And then we can sit down and run our mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get back to doing that, too. So here's another part of family structure I wanted to bring up with y'all. How do y'all resolve sibling conflicts? Now, I know growing up with my sister can tell y'all some stories. Now, my baby sister just tells me I was just a tyrant. She be coming up with stuff I don't even remember. I'm like, I ain't do none of that. I ain't do that. You know, and my kids grew up around the same age, so trying to discipline them accordingly and handle their little sibling rivalry was always a challenge. So when it comes to handling that type of thing, when your kids, like even like Brother K, your kids, you say they 6 and 7?
3. About to be 4 in September. 6 and 3.
Okay. Now, do they get into it? Do they have a little hissy fits, or they get along pretty good?
Oh yeah, they get into it. They get along pretty good, I say, for the most part, 90% of the time. But that 10%, they do go at it and, you know, aggravate each other and, you know, the little stuff. But right now it's just like, you know, he took my toy or she took my toy or she hit me and, you know, little stuff like that. So it ain't been all, they ain't had no all out brawls where they didn't went at it, you know, at this point. So, but my thing is, I think I'm a, you know, because I feel like I kind of pride myself on being very objective and and try to be fair, you know, as fair as possible. So, you know, I'm going to listen to the stories and see what's going on, and we go resolve the conflict together, you know what I'm saying, based on what I feel is justifiable, you know what I mean, what I feel is fair. So that's how I plan on handling that situation if it ever comes up. That's how I plan on it, you know, so. But things change.
Girls, though.
Right, I know.
It's one thing, when they little, you know, it ain't hard. It ain't too hard. I mean, but when they get older, man, they get in their female ways. Oh man, like, man, I thought, you know, man, girls can be vicious.
I already know.
Watch yourself. I am you know, part of that team you guys are talking about. Choose your words better. Because I'm sure you guys heard the song.
What little boys
are made of and what little girls are made of. Yeah, I know
that.
All
right.
You know what they were talking about.
Sugar and spice and all the things nice.
Yeah. Okay. Two girls then drove me up the world bickering with each other. Clowning, you know what I'm saying? One time they got into the altercation so tough where I had to get out my boxing glove. And I'm talking about, man, they just teenagers I'm talking about. They were doing that so tough. I had to go get the boxing gloves and tell both of them they got to take me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to clown each other. So that was my way to resolve it. I'm like, okay, to get them from jumping on each other, okay, now y'all got to help each other because I'm going to get on y'all.
Right. You hear me?
Yeah. Anytime y'all fight each other, y'all got to fight me.
It is what it is. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I told them. That was my first time. That was their first physical altercation. And they laughed.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tolerate that.
I think everybody just have their, you know, everybody have their own challenges because you guys are guys doesn't mean that you get off scot-free because you guys have y'all fair share of issues as well. So I think everybody just have their own challenges,
true.
You know, and then, like, you know, what about
I'm a good little boy. I didn't give my mother any problems.
Does she say the same?
I'm sure she would.
Sure.
I never did some problems. You know, I was a very bright young child, gifted. And I don't think I ever gave her any type of issues at all as a young man.
Okay, there you
go. I'm sure y'all believe me.
Yeah, here we go.
She had to call in so she could speak on it.
Yeah, have moms call up.
Nah, the challenge with us boys, with me, I used to do ignorant stuff like breaking stuff, and then I wanted to get into where I wanted to run wild in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Do ignorant stuff like that. You know, she finding guns, drugs in the house.
Let's see about taking a call and see what a caller has to say about that. Let's say caller 314-324. Caller, are you there?
I am here.
That sounds like a familiar voice. That sounds like some family. What's up, family?
Hey, fam, how are you?
Oh, you know, we I'm highly favored.
So am I. So am I. That's always good. Are you, Kim? I'm Tanya.
Are we good, Carla? Thanks for calling in. How you be?
I'm good. Now, where were you guys in the conversation? Because I'm sure I'm just joining in.
We was going down the list of how you ways you can have a good set of family, you know, a good family structure in your household. That's what we was going down. We basically went over parenting, some parenting things. Right now, we were talking about siblings. How do you keep siblings from, you know, getting into it? And I was going to move into once siblings do have problems, have issues. What's the best way to resolve them?
So I called at the right time, huh?
Yes, you did. See how things line up?
They seem to have lined right up, but my situation is quite different. And I can go back and start out with me not living with either of my parents growing up. I was actually raised by my grandmother, by my maternal grandmother and my grandfather. My parents divorced, and it seemed like they divorced me at the same time. At least that's the way I feel. But both of them went on to have other children, and I seem to have been forgotten. Neither here nor there. I'm over that. You know, I've grown to be all right. My siblings, I thought that I had a very close relationship with them. My brother on my father's side, we have a decent relationship. But my brother and my sister on my mother's side, we seem to get into conflict all the time because they feel like, although I wasn't with my mother as they were, I seem to have lived a better life than they did, and that I think I'm better than them, so to speak, when I have done nothing but try to help them along the way with any and everything. So as far as where the conflict comes in, I'm confused myself. But when I try and get them to speak on it to me for us to have a conversation now that we are adults, it always ends up in a situation to where we get into it so bad to where we don't speak for months. So I don't know what to do. So I'm trying to listen in to hear other advice from you guys or any other callers.
Well, I was going to say this. This is my opinion. When it comes to things like this, I'm the type of thing.
You kind of breaking up, Mufasa. He was kind of breaking up a little bit.
Better? Can you hear me better now?
Okay, there you go. We got you.
All right. Yeah, I was saying that I made the big responsibility upon stuff like that with parents. I'm the type that like to hold parents accountable. Like any things that go wrong when it comes to my children, I look at what did I do wrong. I'm always looking at how I could have made it better, how my significant other could have made it better. So when you, in your situation, and even though you're grown, I'm wanting to dig deep and go back to your mother, because as a mother, you know, when a mother knows that there's issues with the siblings, to me it's a mother's job to intervene, a parent's job to intervene, you know, and give words of wisdom to both parties. Do you feel that you get that in your situation?
No. In fact, I've never gotten that type of support. In fact, I have concrete proof that my mother favored the children that she raised over me and actually kept conflict going all the way up until this day. And I don't understand it. So therefore, I have kind of just isolated myself and start focusing more so on my family, on my three children, on my husband, you know, and on myself.
All right.
Right.
I basically
agreed.
Given up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's important to remember too, Carla, that you know, you're not the one to blame for, you know, your mother's actions and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's something that she's probably dealing with, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think the best course of action, you know, in my opinion, would be, you know, to just do your thing. I wouldn't try to force anything. You know what I'm saying? Just focus, you know, on you and your family. So, because it could be one of them things where, you know, you'd be trying to get in touch with it, and it could be causing more hurt to your life than actually, you know, reconciling or making it better. You know what I'm saying? So that would just be my opinion.
I think we had talked on similar on this situation before, because to me, like studying it, imagine that's still a hard thing to do, because at the end of the day, that's still your siblings and your mother. So you're going to, you know, have that love for them. It is a hard thing to do, but like you say, it's good that you at that point where you feel like you feel like you're really ready to just cut that off. You got to do what's best for you and your kids. That's like you said, that's where you at right now. You comfortable with in your decision with doing it, or has it been hard to?
It's been very hard. It's been very hard, especially, you know, when I'm considered a taboo or the black sheep or whatever until help is needed by my siblings and my mother and everything, and then I'm the first one they call and I'm the first one to run to help them, you know. So it's like, I don't know, it's been kind of like a struggle between me loving them and me being accepted by them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I had to distinguish between, you know, between those two myself. Yes, I love them dearly. I know this. If my sister called me today and said, I need your help, you know, I would be on my way in spite of the things that have occurred, you know, over the past few months. In fact, we haven't spoken now in almost 5 months, and we live in the same building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I ask you this. Is this something, have you ever had conversations like, even with this time or in the past, with your mother about the conflict between you and the siblings? And have you ever had a conversation with your mother about it?
Oh, yes. In fact, my mother, she kind of plays two hands, two ends against the middle. She'll, you know, speak to me and tell me, you know, she cares about me and all of this stuff, and then she'll tell my sister and my brother something totally different that they end up telling me later on. Case in point, my grandmother passed away. My sister and I at that time hadn't spoken in a few months. And my mother said, your sister says she needs the money in order to buy her children. My sister had three children at the time. Said she needed money to buy her children and herself something to wear to the funeral. They had nothing to wear. Would you lend her some money? So I said, yeah, I can do that. So I gave my mother the money to give to my sister. My sister never even showed up at the funeral. So a couple of months went by, and I asked my mom, I said, has my sister said anything about paying me back the money that she borrowed from me? Oh, she said she was going to give you back her next paycheck. She was going to start paying you back something or whatever. So I'm like, okay, cool. A couple of weeks went by. I got nothing, no phone calls, no money or anything. So I took it upon myself to call my sister. Now, the way that things had been in the past, my mother thought that I would never contact my sister because we hadn't spoken in such a long time. So she figured that I wouldn't reach out to my sister. I would just let it go like I always had with other things in the past. Well, I called my sister, and I asked my sister about the money. My sister knew nothing about it. So my sister called my mother, and my sister called me back, and she said, Mom said she doesn't know what you're talking about. You didn't give her any money from me. Said you just lied. So I said, oh, really? So I said, okay. So I gave it a couple of days, and I called my sister, and I said, I just want you to hold on, and I want you to be quiet. So I called my mother using my three-way line, and I said, Mom, has Trina said anything about returning my money? She didn't make a payment or anything like she said, like you said she was going to. Oh, she said she would give it to you the next paycheck. So my sister, like, gasped on the phone. She was like that. And she said, Mom, you told me that Dale said that, and I don't mind saying my name. She said, you told me that Dale said that she didn't even give you any money for me. My mother hung up the phone immediately. So from that point, I started having conversations with my sister about how I don't know what the problem is or whatever has ever been with me. I said, but we've had things that happened in the past to where my mother had did, you know, had some of this same type of behavior. And I said, we cannot allow her to keep us apart. We love each other, you know. And I don't know what the problem is with my mom and me. I figured because I always said because of the problems that she had with my dad and when she divorced him, and my mother actually gave me to my grandmother after she divorced my dad. So I figured that, you know, that was all a part of
it. So you think that hurt? She was hurt from that relationship and took it out on you.
Right. So I told my sister, I said, we can't let this affect our relationship. We need to communicate with each other. I said, now, I'm not going to worry about the money. I said, as far as I'm concerned, Mama got me again, you know. But now you see that she's not honest with either one of us. She plays us. She keeps us in conflict and everything. And from that point on, we were supposed to keep our stuff together, communicate better and everything. Well, as the years went on, more stuff came up and more stuff came up, and I'm just to the point to where I can't do it anymore. It's not good for my health. You know, I have other health conditions going on and everything, other things that I've been trying to do with my life, and it's just been a hindrance because every time they need something, I stop what I'm doing to go help them. And then we end up in this same type of situation. So I feel like I can't really advance and do what I'm trying to do with my life because I'm always stopping for them, and it's not good for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually,
so go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, at some point, you got to stop believing. At some point, you got to put a hold to it. And that's that's what you're doing now. You get to a point where you just, you can't take no more. So I can understand. I can respect that.
Yeah, and since that situation has occurred, I had a health scare a little bit over, it's been about 2 months now. And I collapsed and I injured myself and had been to the hospital and everything. And,
oh, wow, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. And my mother came down to our building to attend a baby shower that my sister was giving for our brother's ex-girlfriend's daughter. Well, our niece, let me put it that way.
Right.
My mother came down to that baby shower. I didn't come to the baby shower. I didn't go because I wasn't feeling well. And my mother didn't even come up to check on me. And her excuse was, because I thought you were coming to the baby shower. Well, I didn't come to the baby shower. You knew I had been hurt, so why did you come and check on me?
Right, right.
So those are the type of things, you know, that I experience. And I'm just to the point to where I'm in my late 40s, and I've been in this fight forever, you know, and I can't do it anymore. You know, basically since I was 7 years old. I think 41 years is enough time.
Agreed. Yeah, the first law is self-preservation. So, you know, I think at this point, you need to be looking out for yourself, you know, your health, your well-being. And you just may have to charge moms to the game. You know, unfortunately,
yeah,
this may have to be that way. You know, if she needs you, I would never tell you to turn your back, but,
right.
You know, you're going to have to consider, you know, what you want to do. Is it worth it? Is it a chance that, you know, she may get over on me or, you know, put my sisters against me or whatever? You're going to have to make that decision when that time comes. But I think, you know, you need to definitely look out for yourself and for your health at this point. Because I could tell it's hurtful, and, you know, you just may have to charge moms to the game, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah. You know, I can't blame me not leaving this city, me not doing a couple other things and everything on them, because that was my choice to make. You know, I have given up a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
like even when different events are coming up and stuff, because I do event planning, I do interior decorating and a few other things, but if stuff is going on with them and they say they need help, I put off what I have going on in my own life to help them. And it's kind of stagnated what I've been trying to do in my life, you know.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah.
But at the same time, when you think about, let's flip the script a little bit, when you think about preservation of the black family. And no matter what's going down, we always say family first, and what can we do to keep these families together and everything. That's something that has always bothered me, too. And no matter what has gone on, that has been one of my things and the reason for my fight, you know, to save my family. But when this is going on, it ain't no saving to be done, because at the same time, I'm the only one that seems to be stressed out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so at the same time, by you cutting out, it's like a flower bed. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got a flower bed going, and it got some weeds in it. You don't want the whole flower bed to die. You got to go and pick the weeds out. So you got to pick the weeds out what's best for you and your children, your family.
Right.
And learn from that situation, learn from what they sent you through, what they put you through.
Mm-hmm.
And that way that the same thing don't keep on repeating itself over and over again. Look for the joy in your family and knowing that you ain't going to do the same thing that yours did to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, a lot of times with adults, you can't really, you know, teach them new tricks. They just stuck in their ways. So I would say, you know, reach out to the young people in your family, like nieces, nephews. You know, try to build a relationship with them if you can. That way they can kind of, you know, see things from your point of view, because, you know, the kids are the future. And, you know, make sure that your kids may have a relationship with their cousin and not, you know, just make sure that your situation and your siblings and your mother don't affect the children, if that makes sense. If y'all can keep them, you know.
That is not the case either, because I have always, you know, tried to have a relationship with the kids, and, you know, I went to thrift stores, decorated bedrooms, did all type of stuff when my, you know, nieces and nephews got their own apartments and needed, you know, their little spaces fixed up. I like interior decorating. So, you know, I would do those type of things for them. And now because, you know, there's a problem, you know, within our family, now I don't even see the children. I don't talk to the children or any of that. My great-nephew he called me and he said, Auntie, I want to see you, but my mama and my grandmother said I can't come see you. He's 5 years old.
Wow.
He's 5 years old.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, we got to stop doing that type of thing. Just because you're not seeing eye to eye with an adult, you shouldn't do that to the kids.
Right. You should not stop them from having relations with their auntie and their cousins on the strength, you know, on something that you tripping off of. Yeah, that's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crazy, you know.
Yeah. What's wrong is wrong. What's right is right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was what I had to contribute to tonight's conversation.
All right. We appreciate that, caller. And like I say, take care of yourself first and foremost, you and your family, you know, because, you know, your health, you know, you can't, don't sacrifice that for nobody. Mama, daddy, sister, brother included. You know what I'm saying? So.
You got that right. You got that right.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Yeah. You owe to the ones you popped out. You got to
exactly.
be there for them.
Yeah.
You got to
mm-hmm.
be them on them. So, yeah. Yeah, but right on, Carla. Yeah, still feel free to hold on. We only got a few more minutes before we'll be signing out. So,
sure.
Free, continue to listen to me.
Sure,
yeah.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. Yeah, that's deep, man. You know, that's what I say.
It's up in that situation, man.
Yeah, it's important.
You know?
That's why I say it. When we were talking about this earlier, about what was on your mind, about family structures, stuff like that. You know, and how we, it's so many different, and that's only one issue. We got so many different issues to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So many different issues that we're dealing with. In our family, we just ain't even scratched the surface of problems that come up in our family structure. You know, so many different things and problems that people deal with. You know, we was talking about this before. You got people that's dealing with, you know, alcoholism, sexual abuse.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So many different things that we go through.
Drug use.
All this type of stuff needs to be addressed and healed because, you know, like I said, family structure is, that's how you have a strong nation. You can't have a strong whole nation and you can't even get the families together. You know what I mean, Brother Kid?
Right. Yeah, that's an actual fact. Really, that's where it started with the family. The family got to be tight. And it always go back to the code that I talk about. We got to get individuals and families on a particular code, you know, that's about survival. Like, you know, the families don't have to agree on every single issue, but we do have to have a code of conduct, you know, that we go by. You know what I mean? When it, as far as the family structure and how we go move and function as a community, as a society. You know what I'm saying?
Have you put some thought into your own particular set of codes yet? Is this something you've done yet?
Yeah, I actually have. I started making a list, actually, of codes that, you know, just simple codes that I think individuals should abide by. Some are family-oriented. Some are, you know, just for the individual person. Some are specific to women, some are specific to men. But, yeah, I started compiling just a list of codes. You know, I could share some of them with as far as family structure.
Yeah.
You know, one of the codes would be, and it's just all simple free stuff. Like, these codes don't cost a thing. It's just free. You just got to get up and do it. So one code is you know, I think a family should have a library card, especially in the city of St. Louis. I think we have some good libraries. I think that's a great way to, you know, to let your kids explore their mind. Because I'm speaking from you know, me being a parent of basically toddlers and, you know, and preschoolers and first graders and kindergarten. So I'm speaking from this quote-unquote perspective. So I would say families need to get, you know, need to get library cards, take your kids to the library. They have free events. You know, they do breakfast sometimes. They have events during the summer. And it's just a great place that you want to start your kids off early, craving knowledge and craving new information and craving reading. So that's one small suggestion. Another one is in St. Louis. I know we can take our family to the art museum. Is free. The science center is free. Our zoo is even free. So with your kids, you want to start doing things like that for the kids, just to get them, you know, get them out the house, get them away from doing stuff. You can take them and let them experience different worlds at these places, you know what I mean, for free. So just spending time with your kids at different culture events and, you know, things like that that are free within your city, just try to, you know, get your kids out to do those things. And my last one would be is our kids need to travel more, you know what I'm saying, which this one may cost, but you can do like inexpensive day trips, or just getting out the city for a minute and driving an hour away or 2 hours away and, you know, hitting up a local park or something, just anything just to get, you know, get in the habit of seeing different cultures and seeing, you know, how different societies function and how they move about, because a lot of times we get stuck in our city and we just see the same, you know, 20-mile radius. And that's all we see, you know, for the majority of our lives. But I think it really opens up the mind when you start to travel and, you know, when you start to see different things and how, you know, certain things in your neighborhood may be suppressed. But if you go to a whole another neighborhood, community, city, state, that, you know, it could just be totally different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are just three suggestions. That's something I could come up with off the top of the head. I wish I had my book down here with my list, but those are just some of the codes.
Spending time.
You know,
at base of what you're saying is spending time. It's spending that quality time together.
Trying to
unify. I will add this to it, is having communication time, like you want on. In both settings, one-on-one time with, say you got two or three kids, time to time, go to each one of them alone and say, hey, let me holler at you for a minute. And just, or go for a ride, say, come on, ride to the store with me or something, just or walk.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to talk, you know, how you doing, or what's been going on with you, listen to them. That's something that, that I try to work on in my household. And not just individual time, but then at times do a group talk too. Have your children sit down with you and your mate, and y'all just, you know, just have free talk. You know, don't have no TV on or nothing. Just try to bring up conversations about things. You know, just talk about that. You know, kids, what y'all think about this? And kind of let them just run their mouth and get their thoughts on how they feel about things. It teaches them. Yeah, it teaches them to communicate with the world. But
exactly.
Yeah, those are good points you brought up there, Brother Kid. We got another call on the line. Let's see if bring them in and see if they wanted to add in on the conversation. Hang on 1 second.
314-616. Caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, peace, caller, peace.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming in on the very back end of the conversation. I usually get an email or a text or whatever. But what was the topic? I came in when Brother Kevin was talking, so I'm trying to figure out what the topic is.
Ways to strengthen the family structure. Yeah, we discussed on ways to strengthen the family structure.
I'm going to piggyback on everything that Brother Kevin just said, 100%, more or less with my situation, because there is a divided household, and so, you know, when I have time for my three kids, it's very valuable, because, you know, I'm working and I also want them to be able to have fun too. But one thing outside of the things that Kevin mentioned is, you know, we have to begin to educate our own kids. If we don't educate our kids, we have to think about all the mistakes that we've made, all the things that have been propagated upon us. And so when I have time to sit with my kids, what I find myself doing is we're definitely in that library. And, you know, I'm teaching my boys about Marcus Garvey, Kwame Oumare, you know, letting them know that our people were great. Teaching my daughter about Assata Shakur, you know, positive black women and instilling that within them. Also, toward the fall, as school enters, as I'm getting educated, I want my kids to be educated about finance and business, because we have to make economics just as important as we make a religion. Because if our kids are not economically empowered, especially in this day and age, they're going to suffer worse than we are.
Right.
So, you know, education-wise, we got to teach them the history. We got to teach them economics. And we got to begin to even teach them health, you know, because everything that the school is programming them, all the poison that they're getting at school, we need to find a way to reverse that. And it's difficult because, you know, whether you're a single parent, you know, joint parentship, or, you know, a split situation, as I'm in, you know, whatever time you spend with your children, you want to instill in them things that are going to help them in life. You know, it's okay to go out to these outings and this and the third, but the first thing for me is to be self-educated and let them know where you stand on certain things. And, I mean, I even talked to Kim about this, too. It's a sensitive subject, but, you know, at what age do you begin to teach the kids about white supremacy? Because these are the things they're going to be faced with. Because, you know, generally speaking, what a 5 or 6-year-old boy don't want to be a police officer when they grow up. You know, but then when they 13 and they're seeing things like Mike Brown and Tamir Rice happen, how do they respond to that? Have we educated our kids on how to handle a situation when you're involved with the police officer? You know, what do you do? How do you protect yourself? So, you know, like so many, I think we want to extrapolate some of the things that Europeans are teaching their kids as far as self-defense, you know, teaching your kids maybe how to hunt or something like that. So, you know, just education on health, white supremacy, history, things of that nature. The family first structure, you know, we want to adopt the same principles that Marcus Garvey and Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us. That's what I'm doing with my kids.
Right. Facts. Indeed. Appreciate that. Yeah. Because just to piggyback or veggie back on what the caller just said, if you get knowledge yourself, then that's self-respect. And if you respect yourself, it's going to be hard for somebody to disrespect you, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So that is the foundation, is to teach our kids knowledge of self and to get that right history and to give them confidence and empowerment so they can go out to this world and, you know, destroy this system and rebuild a one based on justice. You dig what I'm saying? Because they the future. So you, Carla brought up some excellent points.
I want to ask you this question. Carla, you still there?
Yes, sir.
We had a caller that called in. Yeah, I can hear you. This is Mufasa. We had a caller that called in earlier and was discussing some issues that he was having with her sibling. She was saying that actually that her mother doesn't really police the situation where her and her sibling haven't spoken for months. You know, they're adults now, but she was saying all throughout growing up, she kind of felt that these divisiveness because between her and her other two siblings, and the mother doesn't do anything to, like I say, police the situation. I actually feel like the mother is edging it on, the bad behavior, and she feels like the only one that's trying to reach out to a situation like that. What advice would you give to someone going through something like that?
In a situation like that, you know, because every human being is their own individual, I think, and I don't know if this has been talked about, but this is where some counseling or therapy can come in at, where you can get ways to resolve that issue from other people. A lot of times when you have a situation like that, you begin to set in depression. And the black paradigm within itself is already being destroyed. So my recommendation to a person like that, that's grown up in a situation where there were certain grievances among siblings and the responsible parents or guardians, weren't there to really police the situation, I would really recommend some therapy, because sometimes things that you grew up in your childhood, you know, can stain you for life. Maybe when you was young, you were teased because you were lighter or you were darker than the rest of the siblings. And that thing, you know, has been embedded in your mind that, oh, I'm ugly, I'm stupid, or this, that, and the other. But, you know, like even with my kids, you know, I love them all the same. I treat them differently. You know, the oldest and the youngest tend to think that I gravitate towards the older boy more, who's the middle child. But I think that we just kind of have similar personalities. And, you know, I try to spend time individually with all three of them. But with a situation like that, where there's some grievances among siblings and that it's never been policed, the person that's feeling the way about it, I would really recommend that they get into some therapy and some counseling. Of course, I wouldn't do with anything outside of the race when it comes to that, you know, because I think that it takes our people to heal our own people.
She's at the point now where she doesn't want to even deal with them anymore at this point. And I can understand that, you know, at some point, if you're in an abusive relationship, you have to come to that, you know, to that time where you say enough is enough and you got to get the healing for yourself. So it doesn't
I wouldn't chase rejection, but at the same time, it's like any other toxic relationship. I want to know that I'm being healed. And if I cross that person's path, I don't want that to be friction. I want to be at peace with myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate
you. All right,
you.
Thanks. We got a couple more minutes, John.
All right, we're going to put you on standby. Keep listening in. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Peace. Yeah, we got about three more minutes to the live stream.
Yeah, love to say, you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Love to say.
Well, let me say this too real quick before we get off, and this just be real quick. This will be my last and closing statement. Thanks for everybody calling. I'm going to just end like this. Before we even get in the family relationship or family structure, I think as black men and women, I think we need to be more patient with each other. That's also one of the codes as far as when we're starting to build a relationship or we're starting to vibe with somebody, I think we need to be more patient with each other and understand that, you know, we both may need some healing, we both may need issues, but a lot of things can be worked out. You dig what I'm saying? And another code is, as a family structure, we need to leave the state out of our business. Most importantly, that being child support, I think two adults should be able to come to an agreement as far as payments and all these other things and, you know, different seeing arrangements. I think two adults should be able to come to those decisions without getting the state involved, especially for black people when we know that the state has never had our best interest in mind or actually cared about our families. So why would we bring them involved when it comes to child support or DFS or any type of these agencies that they have? I just think we need to be more mature as adults and work out those situations amongst each other and leave the state out of it, you know, so we can work towards maintaining and being self-sufficient without the help of the state. So I'm going to just leave the family with that right there.
Well, you got some final remarks on the situation, on our discussion?
Yeah, well, I'd like to also thank, you know, all the callers and the listeners and just recommend you guys tune in next Sunday and every other Sunday after that. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all the social media for updates and just to have a heads up on what the topic is going to be about as well. But, my closing statement is basically, you know, it's the same message that I try to, you know, encourage everybody, and that's just to have a spiritual connection with yourself, because most of the suffering that we go through is done within our mind. So if we can overcome things mentally, then we'll be fine. As long as nobody not straight just punch you in your face, all the other things we can overcome.
All right. Appreciate that, y'all. Thanks for listening. doing Collective Minds Radio. And we'll discuss something else. We'll talk about something else. Peace, family.
Peace.
Peace.